I guess it's because Portland's so good.
Yeah.
You want to look at 345 in the top book and Coastville 252 in the bottom book at the same time.
John, you ready for a cigar yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. Be just a minute. What number in the...
345.
345 Senate Bill and House Bill 2052. The top thing in your package has a letter from Redmond. And there's an amendment, the first sheet in the package, that will accomplish the purpose of amending Senate Bill 345 into House Bill 2052, which is recommended by the Revenue Department. The bill just allows reasonable attorney fees and appraiser fees in unprobated estates as well as probated estates. Well, it's expenses are allowed as deduction for arriving at the inheritance tax.
Well, there's never been allowing attorney fees as a deduction and
unprobated.
I'm moving them.
Any Senator John Burns moves the amendments to the engrossed House Bill 2052 discussion.
People.
Sir, call the roll.
Senator John Burns.
Aye.
Senator Keith.
Aye.
Senator Smith.
Aye.
Madam Chairman.
Aye.
What bill survives?
I tabled the other one.
Well, let's move this one out.
Oh, I moved this one out.
Okay. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator John Boone?
Yes.
Senator Keith Smith?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
Aye. And then the motion to table 345.
Correct.
Call the roll.
John Boone?
Aye.
Keith
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Then 245, that's in the bill book. That's Allison's probate code, and I think that's in good shape. Oh, Bob, do you have any problem now about the Idaho code? Or?
Read the journal editorial about it.
What
if somebody wants to make a motion that we provide that any fees up to $100,000 estate will be based upon a percentage and those over by the hour.
I think we've got a bill in that does that. Burbage already has a bill in that does that.
Why? That's the way to do it. So I'm going to do it that.
We've already adopted the necessary amendments to 245 there in your book.
Oh, I'm sure. I got a little problem. I have to amend this bill.
Huh?
I got a little problem. I want to propose an amendment.
Okay.
On page 3. Reinstate the language. Extract it out. In 111.075. reinstate the repealer, 111-115. Reinstate the language, lines 27 to 29. Page 20.
That's still on page 3, 27 to 29, right?
Yeah. Then on page 20. Delete subsection 2.
Of section what?
Of section 1.
Of section 42?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And section 41. Yeah, delete section 41.
Okay.
And I think that does it.
Discussion on the motion.
Well, this is the argument, Madam Chairman, that the people that I've talked with in these six counties are happy with the way this is being handled at the moment. It's not causing any problems to anybody else in the state that I can determine. It's fine to have a pure probate code that affects all the states in the same manner, yet we do have some differences and problems. And I can't see that reinstating this language is going to injure anybody. But those who want, except those who philosophically want a pure probate situation for the total state, and just don't see that the amendment injure anybody, and certainly would help the people that have to do business in the isolated areas.
Mr. Chairman, can I call one thing to his attention?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to make any difference to you or the people over there or not. So long as the county judge still has judicial functions, then if there's a vacancy, the governor appoints, otherwise he's elected by the other commissioners. And the rest of the state, if there's a vacancy in the head of the commission, that's chosen by the remaining commissioners. Bob, what's the reaction of attorneys over there?
They want to leave it the way it is. And one of the problems, you know, it's fine to talk about the appointment of someone in another county to take over these matters. But, for instance, in the case of Dory, you won't appoint anybody. So if you won't appoint anybody, you've got a real problem.
You're talking his language.
I know. Well, you
go right out of the door.
Yeah. So there you are.
How's that election coming along?
They got the signatures for the recall, which no one expected they would
get. I hear you're in real trouble. It's just amazing.
I bet you signed the petition.
Oh, no. You're setting down cases, and I just keep your side on that.
Yeah.
Clerk, call the roll on the amendment.
To recall.
Senator John Green?
Aye.
Senator Keith Green?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Madam Chairman?
Aye.
John, you might take a look at that. I believe we've
check it out and be sure.
I went through it, and I think that's...
Be sure about the repealers, too.
Yeah, we've got the reinstate ORS for 111-115, but that was in the motion.
Then a motion to move Senate Bill 245 out as amended?
So moved.
Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
John Green?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
674. It's a smaller book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we
They took House bills in one book and Senate bills in another.
Yeah.
This particular Senate bill, the committee passed out already. It's one that Nita Bellows came to testify on. She would like to have the committee consider some of that.
Yeah, she came back and asked that it be amended. John, you want to go into the amendment?
Oh, yeah.
I wondered what happened. I was supposed to trigger that bill.
Boy, it's reported out. Is that the file?
Yeah.
Reported out.
If you look in your packet.
It's in the shiny book.
Under 674, there's a proposed amendment to the bill.
What sort is that? First section. No. No. Right in here.
What it basically does is gives justices court across the board jurisdiction over misdemeanors committed and triable in the justices court's respective counties. Currently, there's a distinction between the jurisdiction of justices courts and counties having district courts.
Justice courts have 6 months and they only have a jurisdiction to incarcerate somebody up to 6 months.
Yeah.
But what's their limit on fines? 500 or 250?
Oh, we changed that.
Yeah, I know, but what is the correct? Oh, it says for
what's 6 months? Is that a Class B?
Class B.
No,
Class
B.
B.
Class B.
Yeah.
B. And $1,000?
Yeah.
And so what the amendments are to make it take up the Class B with me?
Well, it's Class B, 500 and 6 months, and it's going up to a Class A.
Now, the amendment would give them jurisdiction over all misdemeanors.
That takes up to a year.
Yeah. Well, what it really helped them is in connection with repeated traffic of drunk drivers, where they would have more. Now, the governor appoints the justice of the peace, doesn't he?
Yes,
so
no, it's the perfect year.
6 years?
Mm-hmm.
What are some typical Class A misdemeanors? Well, driving while under the influence is a Class A misdemeanor.
Some batteries.
Criminal activity in drugs. Petty larceny.
You want justice courts to handle that stuff?
I think the real thing they're concerned about is the drunk drivers.
Yeah.
You could put that in specifically.
Well,
the only thing it would be that in some of the areas, I don't know if that's a good argument. DA go to the justice court with a minor drug case, where now he'd have to go to the circuit court.
On drugs, it seemed to me, John, that you'd have tremendous disparity of sentences. Start dumping that down.
Yeah, I think I'd rather go to the circuit court.
I would too.
I'd worry about that. This is a problem.
You just want to leave it like it is then?
Is that all she wanted?
Yep.
I can't go with that.
Okay. 443.
She got along so well, she thought she'd try a little more.
Yeah.
A little bit good, a lot better.
Well, you're sponsoring that too.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. That was great. I had before that one JP over in Ontario. What's your name?
Hello?
This is the old gal over in Ontario.
Graham?
Yeah. Her father was a JP before or something. Yeah. She was a colonel in the WAC.
Yeah.
God, I remember. I was only get a bail reduction one time. I thought it was the greatest case in the world. Bail $10,000. She raised it to $30,000.
Oh, she's tough as nails. I'm telling you.
I think my client looked sympathetically at a cow one time.
She walks in a room and you get up at the adultery in contempt of court, go to jail for 300 years.
When I saw Anita Barrows here, I thought, God, that woman's gone. She replaced her. She said, no, she's another.
She really, she's devastated. She's frightening.
Oh, scared the hell out of me, I'll tell you that.
Where are the amendments, John?
It should be at the last part of your packet. They're attached to a letter from Judge Hicks dated April 13th, 1993. Judge Hicks sent these amendments over with a comment that he prefers the committee pass the bill out as it is printed, but if it looks as though the committee is not in favor of the bill as printed, he would like you to make the amendments which he puts forward. And basically, the amendments are to increase the annual subscription fee for advance sheets and also to repeal various sections of the existing law which have to do with the Supreme Court reporter. Evidently, the practice now is that rather than having a Supreme Court reporter, the court has an editor who handles the functions of putting out these advance sheets and the Oregon report. The other thing is that they would like the committee to repeal the section in the statutes which specify the form of the Oregon report. If you recall, he talked about the requirement that there be 700 pages in each report, things of this type, which resulted in a delay in the publication of the report. And they would like to have some greater flexibility in the preparation of the form of these things.
Well, isn't this the one that gives them the authority to
go out of the state and print?
To go print them privately.
Yeah.
West.
Probably
West.
West.
Not necessarily West.
Well,
the second will be West.
Now,
this is a tough one.
I think we ought to amend it. And why is the major going to put them out of business anyway?
You might.
What are the amendments?
The amendments say if the committee doesn't want to act favorably on the bill as printed, which would give them this authority to go out of state. Judge Hicks asked that this committee, one, raise the subscription fee for advance sheets.
We'll just raise it last session.
Yeah.
He wants to take it up from 24 to 35.
They are covering the cost? Oh. To raise it to how much?
$35
well,
from 24.
Does that cover the cost?
If you look at, say, also in your packet, this memo from Bill Barrows to Senator Brown, dated 27th March.
My God. Did you do all this typing?
He comments on the what the Ways and Means Committee is doing to the court's budget. And I think this $35. Now, if you look also on the back page of this letter from Judge Hicks, he lists the cost now as being $34.99.
The Barrows is suggesting raising it to $45.
What for advance sheets?
Yeah.
$45 a year.
Yeah. And that is what Hicks' amendment says. Hicks' amendment says that the charge determined by the Supreme Court.
Well, and would they get it done cheaper by West?
What?
Would it be done cheaper by West Publishing? Is that what the argument is?
Sure. From all I can figure out, the total cost per year would be about the same if the lawyers actually pay the cost, the true cost for advance sheets and bound volumes. Then the cost is going to be about the same total each year.
Well, would it be? It wouldn't be part of the reporter system like I get the Pacific Reporter.
That's why your advance sheets would be less expensive.
Well, I get like the Pacific Reporter advance sheets now. But this would be published by West, but it would be just Oregon. Is that right?
Yeah, just the...
Well, not part of the Pacific.
You've seen the Oregon case that they publish now, and that's what they would do.
So I think that's what they'd do.
Yeah, that's what they would continue publishing those Oregon cases which they publish now.
But it would be in a separate... advance sheet, not with all the other
No, it would be the Pacific advance sheet.
That's the reason they are able to provide the advance sheet less expense.
Right.
And the overall thing they say will be approximately the same cost if you provide both services. There have been concerns by some people, and I don't know if there's any validity to it or not, this is kind of a, come on, and once they get it, and they start competing with the state, it might go up. I don't know.
Well, it could be, unless some states have had the experience it goes up, other states have been wise enough to put a clamp on it. One of the problems of the cost of the advance sheet is that the printer charges for everything he does in the at the time the advance sheets are printed. In other words, he sets the type, which stays there stored for the bound volume. This is why the bound volumes are comparatively less expensive. And I don't know what, well, I haven't seen Lawrence propose amendments, but I think that it would be appropriate to let the court set the price of the bound volume instead of having the printer and the Secretary of State involved in it, or maybe the Secretary of State in the court, because then the cost of the advance sheet is going to continue to escalate, and every time that you increase the price, you sell some less copies, which means that you're sending the cost up even more. And a more fair distribution would be to allow a portion of that cost to be picked up by the bound volume.
I think that's right. I didn't know that. Well, if we went the west route, the bound volume cost would go up, wouldn't it? Here. I don't have any strong feelings about it, Chairman. I think what Mr. Branson says makes sense.
I'd like Ways and Means Act.
Well, I think we ought to have our input.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to fund it and make a
difference. Well, determine the fees. I mean, try.
Well, what did we raise the rate last time from what? 15
to 25?
Yeah.
24.
I'm moving
the amendment.
You can't have any lawyer, too.
All right. The amendments provided by Judge Hicks have been moved by Senator Smith.
Then we'll send it to Ways and Means if we do it.
Yeah.
I met your friend Dr. Campbell over the weekend.
He was dead, Bert.
Yeah. He got bucked off the horse last year, and then you killed him.
Are we still on questions?
Is there any discussion of the amendments?
No.
Quick call, roll.
Senator Gondrin?
Aye.
Senator Keith Grin?
You got one of the best.
Aye.
I don't want to
situation.
Well,
Senator Smith.
Aye.
Madam Chairman.
Aye.
Or the best.
Is this
the routine?
The
situation.
I'm going to farm it out.
Yeah, right.
It gives
them
a choice.
Is that true now? Got six doctors. They all happy. They all make a living.
Leslie, is this kind of subsequent referral in the way you need?
Whatever doing this. If we've got the Supreme Court, I think you do something around here.
Pardon?
Well, he hasn't seen the amendment.
Maybe just some suggestion. Whatever you do, try to take general services out of the price setting for the bound volumes, because really the value of the price I want to get to proportionately come up for the financial side.
I'm in favor of that. If you have a good time with bound volumes,
I think they should. But the printer charges everything to the advance sheet as he does, and which is proper. I mean, he should. He's got to. He's making his money. And this is why the bound volumes are so low in comparison. Not that I want to pay more for bound volumes either, but...
Well, the bound volumes are carrying their share of that type setting.
But they really aren't carrying their
share. Well, how do we do that? These amendments do it?
Well, the amendments allow the court to make, which just passed, allow the court to establish a charge which covers the printing cost, so there really isn't any reason for it to go to Ways and Means.
Okay, now that's what we just adopted, those amendments allowed the Supreme Court. And so then they can put a portion of the cost between advance sheets and the bound volume. Okay, that's the amendments we just adopted.
Madam Chairman, I don't think that's what they do.
Okay.
I think they step down. If you look on the bill on page 2, on line 21, they insert 35 for the 24.
Okay, what line?
It's after the amendment, it says the court is allowed to set the charge. directs the printing, publication, and distribution of such copies in such form at such charge as determined by the Supreme Court. That's the amendment we just adopted.
Well, does it permit them to farm it out if they want to?
No, the amendments do not. The bill as printed would allow the court to farm it out to somebody other than the state printer.
And the amendments legal for the state printer, but let them set the charge, right?
Well, the amendments that I have are entitled Proposed Amendments to Senate Bill 443.
That'll date April 11, 1973.
I don't have a date on it. It's just, there are two pages.
Oh, oh.
You've got something we haven't got.
That's something else. We're looking for things dated April 11 here. When did you get those little jewels?
This should be what you're packing on April 13th.
Cool. Isn't
it? Well, here's some short deals here. Here's some from Hicks dated April 13th too. Oh, meet your date in April. Yeah, they accompany his memorandum dated April 13, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. And it raises the annual subscription for advance sheets from 24 to 35.
But it deletes that language on page 2, line 13, which says in such form as a charge.
Well, hell, this just goes back the wrong way. This puts more burden on the advance sheets and less on the volume. Are these amendments we just adopted?
I don't
think anybody's clear on what amendments we did adopt.
We got amendments dated April 11 and April 13.
Well, why don't we conceptually? I learned that word here.
Yeah.
That we amend this bill, let John do it, so the Supreme Court sets cost of the advance sheets and the bound volumes.
Take the Secretary of State out of it.
But not to allow them to farm it out for private events.
No. How do you do that?
I think those are the amendments of April 11, aren't they?
This bill says
it's
just one of April 11 for the Secretary.
There's this and there's this.
Yes, this one is dated April 11th is just an explanation of Senate Bill 443 as printed.
Oh.
explaining the amendments that they have made to 443 as printed.
But that allows them to farm it out. Right?
Yes, it does. If they on page 2 where they say direct printing and publication and so on, and add such charge, that's an amendment which they've made which appears in the bill as it is printed.
All right, well, Senator Smith has moved the amendment conceptually. Do you understand the motion?
Yeah.
If they retain
the Supreme Court be able to set the charge for the bound volume.
Right. You know.
And they not farm it out of the state.
Yeah. I objected in the past when we amended this bill on page 3 of the bill, where it specifies, for example, Public Utility Commissioner, State Lands, and Department of Revenue.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're paying for.
Yeah, and I thought, damn it, the Attorney General does something for the legislature, or they charge us. But what rationale is there that the PUC Commissioner gets these free when, let's say, when the Attorney General also gets them free, and it's his Deputy Attorney General that's doing the work for the PUC Commissioner. Nobody ever satisfactorily explained to me why those administrative agencies, those three, PUC, State Land, and Department of Revenue.
They can take them out of their budget.
If we strike that language, then they'll have to buy them.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay, I move to strike
and
that.
And if you leave it, you cut off the judges of the district and circuit courts, then the counties have to pay for it.
This is added to Senator Smith's motion, what, John?
To strike on line 7, the Public Utility Commissioner, the Division of State Land,
the Department of Revenue on line 7 and 8. And then what about the Attorney General down on the bottom of line 11? Well, I didn't propose to strike him or the judges because but I don't care. I favor statewide funding of the courts generally, and also I would like to keep the counties out away from the courts.
Right. The motion is the conceptual allowing the Supreme Court to set the charge not to allow it spread outside the state and strike all of line 7 on page 3 and Department of Revenue on line 8 on page 3. Let's call them.
Senator John Brown. Senator Keith Brown.
Aye.
Senator Keith.
Aye.
Madam Chairman.
Aye.
Madam Chairman, do you want to take any action on upping the fee for advance sheet to $35?
No, we've given the authority to the court. So.
Don't do that. The court do that.
The bill on what my says.
Yeah, right.
What's your price? $33,000 says.
Your price is going to go up.
Did you get Jack Bain's old set of ORS? One other question on that. A couple other amendments that Judge Hicks suggested. One was to repeal that section of the statute that prescribes the form of the balance volume so that the court would have the discretion to set the form itself.
Sure.
And as I say, it had to do with the 700 pages per balance volume. Evidently,
that's something we ought to do too.
Resulted in a delay.
Now, is there anything else?
Two other provisions that he suggested be repealed. They have to do with setting up the Supreme Court reporter. Evidently, in practice, there is no Supreme Court reporter.
Is that a book or a person?
It's a person.
And they always name him, don't they, on the volume?
Yeah.
They say that they have an editor and that these particular provisions are no longer needed.
So what do they want us to do?
Eliminate the
reference. Simply repeal two sections. One, create the job, and two, prescribe what his duties are.
Okay. Then I'll move those if there aren't anything else.
Is that it, John?
Yes.
Oh. There is something
else? Nope. All right. The clerk will call the roll on the amendment.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Aye. Let's move
the bill out.
I moved the bill out. You passed it.
Discussion? Clerk call roll.
We haven't seen the bill.
John Brown.
Aye.
Keith Brown.
Aye.
Senator Smith.
Aye.
Madam Chairman.
Aye. You know what we should have done? It's another one they supply the legislature with the copies of the order of court.
Will we get the bench?
No.
I get these bench.
You know why you're getting them, don't you? Because I called.
Well, oh, I got them every session.
No, I know, but that they were not sending them, and I called over and told them to send them.
I called too, yeah.
Right, you can do that.
Yeah.
No, I called over and told them we weren't getting them, and they certainly, on the weekend, lawyers ought to be getting them down.
Temper to write a note to the president.
No, I was thinking of the report.
The report, the down volume.
Just set a report for each one. Then go out of their tree.
I got one more amendment.
Go ahead.
For members of the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah.
What do you want me to give mine to?
That's about, what you pay for about $1,500.
Okay.
383.
You know, I found out why you were opposed to Governor's tax program, John Burns.
Why? Tell me.
If I didn't know what it was meant to be for it, I'd been opposed to it, too.
Going up, he was in Grass Pass last night.
Oh, did you go to Grass Pass last night? I didn't know you had
I think I get as far away from Beaverton as possible because I knew you were talking out there.
I didn't go to Beaverton. I was out of Cleveland High School last night. I was at Beaverton
Thursday, I was there Friday noon, I was there Thursday night, and I was out there Monday noon.
Yeah, I saw it Monday. Yeah, I was out Monday.
383 is the one that prohibits medical experimentation on inmates. But I don't think there was any opposition to that.
I move it out.
Right.
Madam Chairman,
yes.
There's an amendment in the packet on 383. This was presented by Mr. Wiggs, who testified.
And
who? Wiggs, who is a student at the University of Oregon Law School, and who would like to substitute this one-page amendment, which would prohibit across the board medical, psychiatric, and psychological experimentation, whereas the bill as printed does not prohibit it across the board. Mr. Reed, Amos Reed, concurs with this suggested amendment or the substitution. And evidently, this is very close to the practice that Mr. Reed has now implemented himself as a result of negotiations with the people who are putting forward 383.
God, that guy did a lot of work, did he?
12-page statement there.
Is that Merrill? No Wiggs. Boy, did a lot of work. 30-year lawsuit.
Says he's the best lawsuit.
Huh?
Merrill says he's the best student.
Well, if somebody want to move the amendment?
I move them.
Discussion? Quick call, Will.
Senator Keithburn?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Madam Chairman?
Aye. Senator John Burns moves it out.
Right.
Do pass as amended. Discussion? Quick call, roll.
Senator John Burns?
Aye.
Senator Keithburn?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Senator Chairman?
Aye. 447. This is the one that Dr. Cole and Trey Levin came in for commitment of sexually dangerous persons.
That's the amendment to that jewel, too, haven't we got?
No, we don't.
No,
that's
from Dr. Blair.
This was one of the first, this is one of the things I campaigned on years ago.
Mm-hmm. How'd you do?
Tell us, John.
You want to know how to vote.
Well, I thought that we should have a procedure for it. It's unconstitutional, it's going to be, but I don't know.
Well, isn't the main thing that must the administrator discharge the person when in his opinion sufficiently?
This eliminates the requirement that they go through the state board of parole and probation to allow discharge someone.
Well, this turns away from what we did in Senate Bill 40, where on the procedure in I think probably is the best part of the bill, where the procedure for commitment pursuant to a not guilty by reason of insanity is made a judicial, where the person goes to the state hospital after they're committed, after being acquitted by reason of insanity. The new criminal procedure provides that before they can be released from the state hospital, they have to be go back before the court. And
did they see you testify on that?
I remember a case that Alva Goodrich had where I was a prime witness over in Condon where a guy shot another guy twice and he was acquitted for not reason by guilty of insanity.
Alva did.
And he got acquitted.
And he got something else recently. He said he was crazy?
Hell, I was a witness. I was standing on Main Street and saw this guy shoot him. Hell no, he wasn't crazy, but Alva got him off. The guy was... And he went up to the state hospital and he was there for 10 days and he was released back working.
Isn't that right?
And
well,
the private procedure provides that the court, in those cases, the committed person has to go before the court before he can be put back on the street.
Well, you want to pass this one and get
what
some other views?
I can't remember the testimony. This takes out the...
Well, with Cole and 311, they had a trio up here. Maybe you were here.
Well, I was here, and I was impressed by that testimony, but I can't remember now why.
Where's the business about the release in here? Is it on page 4 and 5? Is that right?
Well, that's voluntary commitment. Page 4.
Oh, it must be the repealer, 426.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, section 7 on page 5 is enacted. Take the place of the 426-660.
Well, what that does is now they have to go before the court and they sweep it up to the superintendent of the state institution.
They now have to go before the Board of Parole and Probation to dismiss the man. Whereas this would allow simply the superintendent to do that.
I have more, I don't think I can go for it. I have more confidence.
Okay, let's pass it.
You're on the bill, John.
I know I'm on the bill. But, you know, this has been a volatile thing in Multnomah County. And
I have a real problem.
And, I had one of these people that got out and stabbed a woman 26 times. And I guess I'm hanging up on it. Right after he got out.
While committing armed robbery.
Well, no. he was looking for something else.
Look at 554.
Is it the same book?
Yeah.
I hope you're seeing the same with Madam Chairman. I don't have the energy to go back and forth. If I could see the same book, I'd keep it.
There's some letters in the file.
That's a strange crime. Engages in a course of conduct that alarms or seriously annoys another person and which serves no legitimate purpose.
Does that take care of the guy that rings the fire alarm? Well,
takes care of some of the people on this committee. That's right.
Yeah.
It annoys but serves no legitimate purpose.
Get everybody in the legislature. That one.
If we remonstrate something.
Yeah.
First kind of criminal drug promotion.
Well, what have we got? A letter in here from the Chief Justice on House Bill 2905 in this file form.
Yeah, I thought we were about the wrong bill.
Well, it isn't even on his stationery. There's no heading right here.
Why did he invest against himself the ways and means he had? I didn't even know if I had
that should go with 813, which is the next thing in the pack there.
Yeah, sometimes they make out here.
Is there a...
What?
I
amendment that didn't pay the bill. That amendment on that there line 18. It's not a bad amendment. Maintain frequent one remain that guy there the first time.
What's your feeling? Do you want to put it over or think about it?
Why don't we get Ed down here and testify?
I don't care. I don't have any great dialogue with him.
Well, you
well,
know.
I thought we were going to 554.
Oh, I know you don't.
We're on 554.
Yeah, we're on 554.
No, but I didn't mean the criminal code. I don't have Ed, and I'll testify.
Well, we'll never get anybody here. I mean, we might as well take it. You want to issue an invitation to testify?
Table,
he'd
probably show up.
The way I get my, we take a motion to table, then we notify that we're going to take the motion to table into consideration.
Right. Let's have an invitation sent to Senator Fadley.
Madam, I moved to table the bill, and and we'll take the motion under consideration at the next meeting of the Judiciary Committee and
1 o'clock.
Oh.
God. It has four automatic votes unless someone shows up.
Unless they carry the message.
Thanks. What's this Memorandum in support of the murder, which bill
that has to do with 554.
Harassment.
Harassment. 8-13.
Amazing, we got through all these bills, they haven't come to the 8th school pack yet.
It's coming, just wait.
We got a letter. Did they go? Letter to the editor. Pass the bill we got here. You call them.
It helps go away from me, doesn't it?
Does it?
Yeah, of course, my book.
8-13.
Does it say that in here?
Doesn't
it?
Why did I say that?
This just allows the Supreme Court to make rules prescribing forms. It isn't the general rulemaking authority. It's just it, insofar as forms are concerned.
Can't they do that now?
Well, it seems to me like they do.
They just did that on typewritten briefs and letter size. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't understand why they have it.
Wally was here on it, 4-9.
They wanted Section 2 out. Somebody did. At least Section 1 in.
Well, Section 1 is now.
Oh, that gives them power at all the courts in the state, not just their own. Section 2 does.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, this is, I think this is a biggie, John, isn't it?
No, this isn't a biggie.
Shall prepare proposed rules to see describing the form of all motions, notices, process. I would hope that they never have that power.
It prescribes the form.
A lot of standardized.
You know?
Then I got aced out of a motion in Wayne County.
Oh.
Because of your inimitable court rule down there that you have to put on the motion if you want to be heard.
Yeah.
And went all the way down to Eugene, and whoever it was said, I'm going to hear you. I'm a little bit prejudiced. I think we should have uniform.
Well, I'm prejudiced against it. Every motion day is Monday in every court in the state. You know, since you got cases pending all over the state, the federal court, every place, they set everything down for Monday morning.
That's a truth in employment bill for lawyers. You got to have more people.
Let me play page 4. Prescribes the. Can prescribe the forms in circuit court, so it is
Yep.
I don't care.
Line
6 is
Wally said somebody wanted that cut out, like you did?
No, he didn't say
wanted
cut out.
Well, why did someone did? Who did the Tia and Carson sponsor this for?
I mean, is this a court bill?
Looks like it doesn't seem like it says something. Yeah,
that.
I do have a note that Wally wants Section 2 out.
I've got a line above Section 2.
I don't care, Madam Chairman, whatever you want to do.
Well, let's have a motion to take Section 2 of the bill out.
Well, what do we leave in then?
Well, it gives still the power to prescribe the form.
Oh, and that's in all the courts, isn't it? Yes.
Oh, no, two rules. Is the rules, one is the forms. Is that right?
Right? Mm-hmm. No. Now, this is only forms that we're talking about. This is only rules that have to do with forms. We're not talking about general rulemaking authority.
I think they said that they weren't ready for Section 2 yet.
Yeah, right. It has nothing to do with the bar committee.
Yeah.
All right, the motion is to strike Section 2 of Senate Bill 813. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Johnson?
Aye.
Senator Keithley?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Senator Jim?
Aye.
Yeah.
Senator Smith moves out, do pass as amended.
Have to carry any bill.
Wally's going to carry this one.
Oh, boy,
clerk, call the roll.
Senator John Green?
Aye.
Senator Keithley?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Senator Chairman?
Aye. John, what is that one about the writ review for the Court of Appeals?
Madam Chairman?
Yeah.
Now I remember why I had to wait for you. I think, was it Hicks who testified that they probably need another person if they were going to be given this duty?
Right.
I believe that's right.
Some lawyer that would have to draw the form.
Right. So, therefore, if while their budget is being heard, we ought to send this down to them.
No, their budget's gone through. Yeah.
That would pass duty.
Well, he's had it.
Let's let them.
Well, their budget hasn't cost a floor yet, though.
Yes, it has. They've been carrying it.
In the House? Has it gone through the House?
I don't know. It's gone through the House.
It'd be a House bill.
What's the. Not the rest of the reason,
I know
the rehearing.
It's
going to
take me
Yeah, go to revenue in about a minute, man.
No, there's no revenue this morning. No, give me that. Sorry.
You checked on that, huh?
Well, 400 Crawford was to be here. He has some amendments, but.
Did you want to go to 669?
Yeah.
I think it's probably a pretty good deal. I'll move it out.
Going off the staff.
What if I forget for taking appeal from the district? Well, this is my bill, isn't it?
That's why it's a good bill.
That makes the appeal time and everything and the jurisdiction the same as it is in the other court. That's my bill. I got a malpractice case up in the Supreme Court because of this.
Well, it just provides that you give written.
Can we make this retroactive?
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's have the effective date of this. Set it back. Let me check it. A new associate I hired to sound it up. It is ridiculous.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Okay.
I'm getting more and more in favor of the one court system.
You know what I'm
saying? I was here. I'm going to go back.
Okay.
Well, this isn't what I had.
Yeah,
this
isn't what I have to wake up.
I didn't feel the difference.
I can't do that. I have to tell them. I want to go to 5.
Well,
there's another bill on the subject.
The next one is 696.
Is that the same subject?
No.
No, that's Children's Services. Do you want to pass yours?
Where are you?
This isn't my bill.
Move this bill. You did, John.
I moved it.
I vote aye.
No, the problem is...
669. Okay, that's the Children's Services.
No, no, it's a bill that changes the appellate procedure for district court from oral to written notice.
Written notice.
Okay.
No, there's another bill, though. There's another problem, and it's this, that you, you go in the circuit court, the court of appeal, the Supreme Court or anything, and you file your notice of appeal, it gives them jurisdiction. But going from district court to the circuit court, they don't have jurisdiction until you put up your bond. That's my bill. So they didn't make it the same. Because you can file those appeal, but you get your bonding money or something for some reason.
District court can still dismiss it?
You haven't perfected your appeal. So you get that bond in. And every other court, once you file your notice of appeal, it gives the appellate court jurisdiction.
Well, now wait, in civil cases?
In civil cases.
You have to file a bond?
And your appeal is not perfected. Going from district court to the circuit court, so that bond is your undertaking.
I don't think you need an undertaking, do you?
Okay,
I understand what the point is.
The point is, you don't perfect your appeal, you have that undertaking going from district court to circuit court. I got a bill in on that. This all could be amended into that bill. It's in here someplace.
Okay, well then you find it, and I'll make my motion when you find it. I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay.
John, do you know anything about that bill?
No, I don't.
John, what is the bill that on the motion for rehearing? Then?
That's Senate Bill 495.
495. Are there any amendments to this?
No.
This is the one that Brad's been talking about this morning.
Yeah, right. And I called up Schwab, and he said, if this passes, what they plan to do is develop a rule where the petition for a review will go to the Court of Appeals for 10 days, and if they don't act on it, then it automatically goes to the Supreme Court for them.
Well, now, there's something that bothers me here. They're cutting the time down from 30 to 20 days, and the only reason I object to it is that the periods of time ought to be consistent. Not having different than any damn thing you do.
All right, you want to put the time back to 30 days?
What do you feel, John?
I agree with you.
Senator Keith Burns moves to restore 30 on line 7 and to strike 20 on line 8 of Senate Bill 495 on page 2. Is there any objection? Then it's so ordered. Senator Keith Burns moves Senate Bill 495 out as amended for the DuPass recommendation. Please call the roll.
Senator John Burns.
Aye.
Senator Keith Burns.
Aye.
Senator Smith.
Aye.
Madam Chairman.
Aye.
Madam Chairman, I move that all bills we passed out this morning be signed. Members of the committee are not present.
Aye.
Aye. And I move that Keith helps Senator Hoyt with his carrying message.
You want to look at 757?
I better go double check and see if revenue's needed.
No, you don't need to double check. I already did. Triple check.
I don't want to get in trouble with you. Senator Lane County.
757.
She's right here.
I might mention that Section 1 of 757 has already been accomplished in the probate bill that the committee passed this morning.
The whole thing? Everything's in this bill?
No, simply Section 1.
1A.
There's a deletion of on lines 9 through 12. That same deletion was made in Senate Bill 245.
It was?
Yeah.
What about?
And that's the only thing that's in there.
No, the other thing is the deletion on line 34, page 2, and 1 and 2 on page 3.
That's the guy, that's the bill, the guy came down from Seattle testified.
Yeah.
And you call it Social Security for something that it takes you 4 years for them to respond, but they send their people down from Seattle.
What's your pleasure? Pass it?
Well,
I wasn't, frankly, very much impressed by the argument of the lawyer for the Social Security Department. Most people, but I didn't get in on all his testimony, so I'm willing to do whatever you want to do.
Hey, Robert came and testified on this too.
Well, should we just let it rest a while?
Well, you want to just table it to
fix the onus off the Social Security Administration. That's what they want out.
Yeah. But I think they have some responsibility if the person can't otherwise be found.
Well, apparently they don't do anything there, don't they say? They say they didn't do anything?
Well, what
no, they said they went ahead and tried to mail him, but they said they had no way of knowing whether they had the last address.
Yeah, I'm looking at witnesses coming.
They just don't want to have to funnel up the information, that's all.
I moved the table with them.
It has been moved to table Senate Bill 757. Clerk call roll.
You guys are 2 hours late. We've already heard your bill.
Senator Gahan.
Aye.
Senator Cooper.
Aye.
Senator Smith.
Aye.
Senator Taylor.
Aye. Just for variation, let's
go to the other bill.
For change of scenery.
Oh boy.
Well, now did you see 697?
No, I didn't.
You didn't want
it. I forgot why.
What bill?
13.
Then it's on this is 13.
It has my name on it only because Jack Thompson asked me to put it in.
This is way in the back.
Which book?
A shiny one.
A shiny book.
I keep talking about those you know, how you distinguish between the proponents and the opponents, the leaf that they put out on the tax plan. The opponents is on that's that slick sheet.
Oh, this is rather presumptuous. Where'd this letter come from? Dear Senator Brown, attached is the information we understand you've been assigned to carry the bill.
Right. Senate Joint Resolution 13?
Yeah, right.
Madam Chairman?
Mm-hmm.
I favor this bill. I think it's fine. I'm not sure that, you know, I asked a question about separation of powers.
I don't have it.
That's a perfect clip.
I oppose the bill. I think the legislature ought to determine it.
They won't. They don't.
They do.
They don't have guts enough to do anything.
Oh, I disagree, Bob.
No way. That's never been done.
Well, where have they been brought to that they haven't performed the duty? Name it in.
I don't know, but I just want to say to you that it'll never be done.
I know when I had the case down here with Hector McPherson involved, and the best we could hope for is that he'd be reprimanded, and that's what the Senate did. He deserved a reprimand by putting out stuff at the last minute. But that's all he deserved.
Did you represent him?
No, I represented
Glenn.
Glenn?
Well, let's take a case like the Groner thing,
case could have been one of the merits anyway.
Well, you say it could have been one, and you're probably right, but the point is that by seating him in the House in the middle of that loss, in the middle of that case, certainly with the leg up.
But you see, Bob, that's where the law was changed at that time. The law at that time, everybody thought, was that the courts did have jurisdiction. So that's not a good example, because the courts determined that in that case that the legislature should have made a determination. But the legislature didn't, because it was in court and they assumed the court was going to take care of it.
That's right.
But then you have to start from then on.
All right, the same situation could occur.
then I think the House and Senate ought to make a determination.
Well, yeah, but you see, it's...
We're talking about the separation of powers. We don't want the courts to say you should be in the legislature. We ought to let the legislature...
Well, they do in the primary.
Sure, of course, that jurisdiction in the primary.
Well, they...
Let's just pass it. Oh, until a later time.
Well, did you get some more horses here? That's what you're talking about.
Senate Joint Resolution 33. This is the one, the Missouri plan.
Oh.
John and was chatting and we talked about having it apply only to those judges that have to run statewide and not the local judges.
Good idea.
Right.
You buy that?
Nope.
Why? There's no point in getting you up in the morning.
You quit getting up in the morning, maybe if I keep.
Oh, I think that it should apply to the guys that run statewide, but not the circuit and district judges.
You don't want to be statewide, isn't that your objection?
That's right.
You want the statewide.
I want the people to decide.
To elect them?
Sure.
Well, they run. They run against the electorate.
Yeah, that's a great opponent.
It is
the worst opponent I've ever had.
I'm not leaving.
Oh.
Can you give me your proxy?
No.
Very suspicious as well. It's being creepy.
Well, my feeling is it's pretty good for...
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait till we get another vote. Where is 733? That's not in this one.
No.
733 is a bill we've already passed, and it concerns the interim committee, and I talked with Bob Davis, and we can get all the money for the committee from federal funds, from the Traffic Safety Commission.
What bill?
733.
Is that in the same book?
In the shiny book?
Yeah.
You say this is a federal shakedown?
No, we're shaking them down.
That's what I thought. Payment of expenses of legislative committee spending more than well.
We already passed it.
We passed 733?
Yeah, but now all of the monies are available from the Traffic Safety Commission, which is all federal money.
Amazing. When everyone gets anything out of the highway fund, they go out and find someplace else to get it. We should do that with more things.
Well, the problem is, every once in a while, I take these LEDs out and take them home with me.
Okay.
But don't get up.
What is it doing? Interim committee on what?
On revising the motor vehicle codes. Chapter 483 and 484 are real. Yeah.
Well, that's our little jewel for the summer, isn't it?
Why don't we send all these away from me?
Those are all Fed funds.
We'll have hearings and...
Yeah, but how are you going to coordinate the interim committees with the president and speaker if you don't get them all together?
Jason said to go ahead and send it out. That's what he wants.
Well, are we going to...
Well,
I thought we were going to plug in the small courts into this, too.
Yeah, right.
Small courts.
The minor courts.
5 minute courts.
Well, I thought you made that 5'2" judge.
Yeah, that includes Foster's court down Lakeview.
I guess
all five Roth pieces of the year.
Roth is
still
around,
isn't
he? Mm-hmm. Roth is still around, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, we'll convene at French Glen. The hotel, can you tie the hotel up for a weekend?
Tie it up for a year if you want it.
I know how to tie it up.
Largest cup of coffee in the world, free. Remember?
I know. He loves
bowl.
Children.
Big old handle on it.
And he loves a fifth of bourbon.
That's right.
That's all I gotta have. You take your children with you and treat you like a king. He even fried fish there in the morning. He eats fish in that place. He cooked fish for breakfast for my kids.
Well, did I ever tell you the story about him?
Well, a story about him, not the story.
Oh, no. This has got to be a classic court situation. This is the way justice survives in Eastern Oregon. This guy runs the Frenchman Hotel. You got a moment, Madam Chairman?
Yeah.
And so...
he's a kind of a volatile guy, and he lives off the land. And of course, at that time, the federal government owned the property, so, and he leased it from the federal government. And if he was ever caught violating a game law, he lost his lease. So the federal game commission, Fish and Wildlife, decided that he was poaching. So they sent a guy down to investigate. He stayed at the French Claim Hotel. Pruitt knew he was there, of course, he runs the hotel. So this fellow goes up on P Hill, which is just behind French Claim Hotel, with his field glasses, and he's watching Pruitt with his field glasses, and he catches Pruitt cleaning a pheasant in the back of the hotel. Okay? They cite him, they bring him into court, they pick a jury, finally, after a week's haggling. And Pruitt testifies that he had found a pheasant, and he was cleaning it for his cat. And besides that, he didn't own a shotgun. And the cook testifies that that's true, he doesn't own a shotgun.
The cook is his wife.
No, he lives with a cook. He divorced his wife.
Okay.
So, 3 days later, the fishing game man was driving downtown French Claim. A shot rings out. His tire is demolished. He jumps out of his car for fear of his life and runs and hides in an old garage. They cite the same guy, and they choose a jury finally. And they determined that it was a .30-06 shot from across the street. And Pruitt testifies that he doesn't own a .30-06. And the cook says, that's true. I've been looking for 3 years and never seen a gun on the premises. Haven't seen the Fish and Wildlife man. Pruitt was exonerated of both charges, and everybody's happy.
And Pinky represented him on both, didn't he?
Yeah. And that's the truth.
Let's not go to French Claim.
No, it's fine. Take your kids with you.
Okay, let's somebody move the amendments on 10:33.
I'm moving the amendments.
Clerk, call the roll.
Senator
Johnson.
Aye.
Ethan.
Aye.
Senator Smith.
Aye.
Janet
Cameron.
Aye.
Move it out.
Just now. As amendment. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Johnson. Senator Keeping?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
Aye.
Senator Cameron?
Aye. Now, we got to discuss the district court. You know, the district court is laying on the record in July 1st. Wait a minute now. We've got one very complicated bill. We have it go on the record and all appeals go to the Court of Appeals instead of the Circuit Court. We've got one bill to delay it going on the record for 2 years. We've got a bill to repeal it, ever going on the record.
The last bill is the best one. I don't say that as a pride of authorship either.
What do you think, John?
Well, of course, you know how I feel. I put that bill together last session and did it. I kind of think, though, that we should either amend it. I'm not too impressed about going all the way to the Court of Appeals from the District Court. There are some other technical amendments in there with respect to docketing and things that I think are needed. But I suppose we should either amend it or repeal it and not study it for 2 years. Now, maybe I could be persuaded to study it.
Well, it does have relevance to the Interim Judiciary Committee, but I don't care.
Madam Chair, as far as studying it as to the role of the district court and various other things, fitting it into maybe moving some traffic, we need to have that, move some traffic charges out of the criminal process into the administrative process or various things like that. We need to have the district court build in for that purpose. I don't care about studying it.
But I'm opposed to making a court record because it raises the cost of litigation when you start doing that stuff. And I think that would be someplace very expensive justice in our system.
Well, does it? When you give them a person, the problem most of the attorneys in Portland have is that you give exclusive jurisdiction to the district court on cases under $3,000. And
if that doesn't bother me.
That doesn't bother you.
That part doesn't bother me. I just think we don't make them a court record. Because then you have to elect as to whether you appeal or not by having a court report in there, or you go to electronic process, I suppose. That's a lot of money. Can you imagine those district courts trying to set up a deal to record the proceedings? Hell, no other court's been successful doing it. Can you imagine that district court up there doing it?
Well, it provides either a court reporter or
electronic. Well, either one, but you can't get enough court reporters. You wouldn't get enough court reporters to man those district courts in the county.
Well, gives you the option if you don't have it reported, you just don't appeal it.
Well, that's right. But then I don't think a person ought to have to decide prior to the time the case occurs whether some judge is going to make a dumb decision or not.
Well, I take the court reporter in with me if it's a case that I'm going to appeal anyway.
Well, a lot of times you don't know. And you spend money for you're going to get returned your client.
Here's my feeling, Keith. I think there's a certain shakedown aspect to the appeal, and I do it all the time.
Well,
in my office with sub cases and defending PD cases. I'll have a half a dozen cases going one way or the other with McCaffrey or Joe McCarthy or someplace, and we'll compromise one off against the other rather than appeal them. Maybe that's good, but I don't think it is. The same as the criminal argument I don't buy too much because everybody's getting convicted now anyway.
Well, we've got to decide that sometime very soon. But and the second problem with that score is you weren't here the day the bar presented their proposition to appoint trial person for grievance procedure.
No.
Board of Bar Governors. You weren't.
What's that got to do with district court?
No, but I'm talking about new subject.
Oh, on a new subject.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, why don't we stick with the district court and get this thing done? I don't want them, if I can delay it, I'll delay it. If I can repeal it, I'll repeal it. I just don't want to make courts a record. And this doesn't make me popular with the district court judges because I think they want to gather as many as they can.
As a matter of fact, the interim committee study by the Judiciary Committee will have a distinct effect on the district court.
All right. Is that going to delay the implementation of making them a court of record?
I think it should be delayed because you have to look at what's left in the court.
Well, let's get those two bills, the one that delays it and the one that sets up the interim committee.
Well,
has
we got to pass the interim committee.
On district courts? Is that
well,
what we did?
Well, it's on traffic.
On traffic, but...
Which is, of course, 75% of district
Well, this is going to bear on their salary bill, which is all right. They're certainly not going to be entitled to an increase. Wait a minute.
Well, how's this going to bear on the salary?
Well, because the bar bill is down in Ways and Means, raises their salary to $29,000.
On the theory they're going on the record.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see that makes any difference. In fact, I think they are entitled to a greater salary if they're not on the record.
But if we don't do something, they are going to go on the record.
So. Okay, well, I want to do something.
Okay, well, wait till you get another vote, because I'm going to vote against doing something.
Even against delaying it for 2 years? When we got this interim study going on?
Okay.
I'll find another horse. Bob says there's two horses.
Hey,
Betty says three.
The other problem is we've got the two bar bills, and one that would put the bar governors in six districts. We've got the other one by the Board of Bar Governors to appoint trial persons in grievance procedures. And somebody in there, I can't remember who suggested that maybe a solution would be not to have them appoint, see, they're not elected, they're appointing trial persons, but to combine two bills and enlarge the Board of Bar Governors and table the trial.
The trial deal is in lieu of the grievance committee, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a grievance committee, and then it's funneled through the Bar Governors and sent out to an appointed trial.
Well, at the present time, the grievance committee sits in here.
The way it works now is this. A complaint comes in, and if they think there should be a hearing on it, the Board of Governors funnels it to a grievance committee, which makes its recommendation, which comes back to the Board of Governors.
Yeah, but the grievance committee hears the evidence.
All right.
Appointed by the
Board. No. Well, yeah. But and then it goes back to the Board of Governors, who certify it to the Supreme Court.
Is it a standing grievance committee?
This would have an appointed trial board, which would
trial
get
board,
which would get the complaint from the governor, and then they would certify it to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And
they'd be appointed by the Board of Bar Governors.
They'd be insulated from election by the membership.
Good morning, Senator.
That's right.
And that, isn't that their most important function, or am I wrong?
I think it is.
Good. It's an inside policing program.
Well, what we're suggesting is, instead of getting them the trial board, increasing the number of governors.
Increase it to 16. Let them sit in panel.
How many do we have now?
12.
I have a feeling something else is going on here.
Well, there is. It takes care of the Eastern Oregon problem at the same time.
I wonder what makes you think that.
Bob,
two little birds.
Instead of groaning on a revenue, there's no revenue committee.
There's
no revenue committee meeting.
We could give Eastern Oregon another one. We could give Lane County.
Tell Dick there's
one.
No revenue this morning.
We could give Marion, Lynn, and Clackamas another one, and we could give Southwestern Oregon another one.
Well, we'd leave it in the four districts we win in, and just give each one another district.
Sure. But it's a congressional district. One man, one vote.
You know what I'd like to do is... it's 2090, isn't it, Bill? House Bill 2090 that we were talking about.
Well, that's part of what we're talking about.
Okay. I think we ought to... Yes. If there aren't the horses to get out of committee, we ought to tell the bar there aren't the horses to get out of committee, and they better come up with another solution.
Well, I
and let them give it some consideration and not just carve up the pot here.
Well, but what's wrong with this solution? They say they're overworked, they can't conduct all these trials, so they're getting four new members.
Well, the board doesn't hear the evidence anyway. De novo.
The board, yeah. Or the board of governors?
They don't
hear
the evidence.
Well, I think the statute says that they review it. And
well, all right, that's a transcript. Maybe they do review it de novo, but they don't hear any raw evidence. I don't mean to say that raw evidence about.
I think the grievance procedure. I think the grievance procedure is the single most important reason for which the Board of Governors exists. And they're getting into a lot of other things. And I do have some uneasiness about them appointing a trial board, which, because they're appointed, is really insulated from the membership. Giving them the authority. Now, Holloway made a good argument. The best argument he made was the fact that the board initially receives the complaints and then they act on them, and if somebody's had a lot of little tiny complaints coming in all the time, then maybe that prejudices the board. But I'm not sure that outweighs the concern in my mind. And
I think they're abrogating their primary duty.
I do too. But if we raise it to the if we increase the membership on the board by congressional district, do we not have a problem on the west side and east side of Multnomah County?
Well, I don't see why we would, because the congressional, yeah, He was talking about where the lawyers actually are.
Yeah.
There may be.
200.
But in terms of population, we've got to be quality. I don't know how the line runs up.
Well, the Multnomah County.
In
Multnomah County, at the first district now is all west of the river. And so all the lawyers, so the 18 or 2,000 lawyers west of the river are in with Astoria, you know. And in Edith Green's district, east of the river, there's 200 lawyers. You know, and that's all.
The higher end district versus the lower end.
Well, I guarantee Vern Custer's position is more to find out. The only lawyer in this town.
Vern Cook and Francis Harrington, yeah.
Well, so those are two pressing problems we'll have to decide soon.
I'm sure. Why don't we write a letter to Barr? We can't get these bills out. This is what we're considering. What you consider? I take care of your problem.
Okay.
Keith?
Yeah, I'd like them to come in and let them try some compromise and work and something out. What's going to happen here in the city? Nothing's going to happen.
Well, I'm not so sure. I just kind of hate this. Well, okay.
What bothers me, you know, a lot of people put a lot of time in on behalf of the bar. They work hard to think these things out, and then and the only point is, I think you ought to be given a shot at it.
We have the legislature. All right, I don't care. Ask them if you would think of it.
They never even considered adding members.
Oh, I think that was at the annual meeting they did.
I asked the guy. You even consider adding?
No, yeah.
Wasn't there an amendment? There was an amendment, I think, on the floor at the annual meeting.
Considered, didn't they, John?
Yeah, I could be wrong. There was an Eastern Oregon amendment up there, and I...
No, on the subject of adding members to the board, they didn't.
No, I think that... I could be wrong on that, but my recollection was there was an amendment on the floor of the annual meeting in St. Louis, D.C., and it was the Eastern Oregon lawyers who came in and...
out of the country?
Where else can you get commie cigars? That's the only time I got a dick of the smoking since I was 14 years old. It's up there for 3 days. Those cigars are tremendous.
I'll contact them and see what they think. The meeting is adjourned until 1 o'clock.